Well, I didn't know, but it's good to have the family choir bring the message tonight before you. Before I get up here, I didn't know they were going to sing it. They didn't know I was going to preach on it. But I'm going to preach tonight on Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Christ's coming is a scriptural reality in promise. Scriptural reality in the promises of Christ himself. Look at the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 35 through 37. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Then in John 14, verses 1 through 3 says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now again, scriptural reality and the promises of Jesus is what we're looking at. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ promised to go to the Father, send the Holy Spirit, and to come again for his church. But not only will he come again for his church, but he'll come again for all of those that are saved by the grace of God, those in Christ. So it behooves, if you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ. And you need to do that by repentance and faith, trusting in Jesus and what he has done. And when you do that, then you're going to be in Christ, and all of those that are in Christ are going to go. And among those are going to be those that he said he's going to prepare a special place for, and that is his New Testament churches. A scriptural reality in the promises of the angels. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. It says, While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And so, scripture reality in the promises of the angels concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels announce Christ's conception, his birth, his resurrection, and his coming again. A scripture reality in the promises of the epistles. Look at Titus 2, 11 through 13. It says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, scripture reality and the promises of the epistles. And the epistles give the doctrines and duty of the church, and its destination awaits the coming of Jesus Christ, all of God's people. He's going to come. He's going to take them off of this old earth, and they're going to receive a glorified body. Their bodies are going to be changed. That old nature is going to be left behind, and only that new nature will thrive in that new body. And therefore, what a wonderful thing that it will be. No longer will they have to struggle with sin. No longer will have to deal with the results of sin. And as sin is abounding in our day, we see the results. We see the suffering. We see the pain. We see the problems. And we see the diseases and destruction coming upon people continually because of sin. But that's all going to be gone. It's going to be taken away. Christ's coming is a surviving reality in perseverance. The reality of Christ's coming survives the changes of time. His coming survives the changes of time. 2 Peter 3:3-9 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Emphasis, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. That's because he's abiding in eternity, and it's an ever-present now up there. And his time is not ours. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reality of Christ's coming survives the changes of time. Time may destroy many hopes, but it can only increase the hope of Christ coming again. Just because there are naysayers, don't give them any credit. Take the word of God, the evidence of God's word. Take the word of him who knows all and can do all things, because all things are possible with him. And yes, in his time, when he's ready, when the last soul comes to Jesus in repentance and faith, he'll take us all out of here. And then he'll pour his wrath out upon this old earth. At any rate, the reality of Christ's coming survives the unbelief of man. Its truth survives man's theory of Christ coming at Pentecost, coming at salvation, and at death. It survives every attack from man's unbelief. Survives every attack. And believe me, all of these theories and these ideas and things that come up that has no foundation in the scripture, we need to ignore and set aside, not of God. But we do know the scripture is of God, and it assures us Jesus is coming again. And he's coming to receive those that are his. The reality of Christ's coming survives over all common hardships in the saved person's life. James 5:1-9 says, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Now, boy, to me, that's a wonderful picture of Jesus and we, his fruit, and how he loves and desires to see the time when he can reap the crop that is here on this earth. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Then in 1 Peter 1, and verse 5 through 7, says, who are kept by the power of the God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. No matter what hardship we may go through here, there's nothing compared to the wonders that we're going to receive one of these days when he comes. When that trumpet sounds, that shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The reality of Christ's coming survives the death of the saints. The reality of his coming survives the death of the saints. For I reckon, Romans 8 and 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Nothing can compare. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Then, reality of Christ's coming. Again, death. His coming survives and will survive the death of his saints. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13. But I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Sorrow. Don't sorrow like others that have no hope. You know, those that have no hope, they lose eternally their loved ones, never to be able to see them again. But those that know the Lord and those that have gone on that know the Lord, we'll see them once again. Amen. And there's some precious souls that are there with the Lord that I look forward to seeing again one of these days. And not all of them are just my close relatives either. A lot of them are brethren of this church. I remember some of the old brethren, the wonderful handshake that they used to have, and the smile and the joy that you'd see when they come into services. Some of them spent most of their life wasted it in the world, and then they get right with God and come to the Lord's house. And what a joy. When they come in, that smile and greeting was precious. And when they'd leave, it got a little sorrow and a little sad because they would say, preacher, pray for my children. I left them out in the world. Now I'm home. They're not here with me. Christ's coming is a sanctifying reality in practice. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Christ's coming is a sanctifying reality in practice. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." This reality will set the saved apart in separation from the world. This is in practice. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Then, this reality will separate our affliction and activity from the world. This reality will set the saved apart for service. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 10 says, "So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The reality will be that it sets us apart for service. The reality will be that it sets the saved apart from sin. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It shall not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, the world doesn't like us. Really, when you get down to it, the world hates us. But it's not us that they hate, it's Jesus. But they hate us because we don't sin to the excess that they do. And our restraining by the grace of God through the working of the Spirit in our heart and our life, abstain from those things that they become slaves and in bondage to. And they see the difference that the Lord makes, but they're not willing to yield. And they resent us because of what he can do or has done for us. And they're not willing to let him do it. Did you know, Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you're what you are. By the grace of God." We don't sin to the excess that they do, but yet we still sin. And that's why he gave us 1 John over there, where he said, if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, we don't sin to excess because we also have the Spirit, Lord, through the Spirit dwelling in our hearts. And we come to an understanding and realize that our sins against him. And we should never, never let anything in our life be against the Lord. But always fight that old nature and use that power that he's given us through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to refrain and to prepare ourselves. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. You can mark it down. And don't let the naysayers cause you to question or cause you to doubt. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. Jesus is coming soon. Look around. Look in the scripture and see. Jesus told us what it would be like in this world when he would come. And brethren, it's exactly and worse than what he said that it would be. But it certainly is what he said it would be at the time we're living in today. And we can know, yes, he's coming, no doubt, no question about it. But we can also know that the time's coming soon because of the condition that humanity is in this world today. Years ago, these terrible sins were happening in faraway places. Now they're happening everywhere. There's no place that it isn't there. And you know what? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says the works of the Antichrist are here now already. And when he comes, this world will be left to the Antichrist. And then the sinful condition of this world now won't hold a candle to the terrible condition it will be then. And if you have any question or any doubt about your salvation tonight, you need to question, you need to doubt, but you also need to look to Jesus in earnest. You need to see and be sure that you're among those that are in Christ, and that when he comes, you're going out of here. Now's the time to be sure, because if you wait until he comes, it'll be too late. He's coming as a thief in the night, the Bible says. One's going to be taken, and the other's going to be left behind. The one that's taken are those that are saved by the grace of God, those that are in Christ. The one that's left behind are those who are lost. Now, will there be people saved in the tribulation period? Absolutely. But how many will die in their sins? I'm fearing that there's more going to do that than there will be that are saved. Because listen, there's that straight and narrow way. He says there's few that enter in. And then there's that broad way. And he says many will enter in there. And that not only holds true now, but it'll hold true in the tribulation after Jesus has come and taken all the saved off the earth. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, and you need to have a serious heart-to-heart talk with Jesus, you need to come. You need to do it. You need to do it now. And we need to quit putting off until tomorrow, making things right. We need to do it now, because again, the evidence is overwhelming that he could come any moment, any time. What shall we sing, brother? Yeah.